Let's have an AA meeting. My name is Jackie, and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday night Blue Chip Speaker Meeting at the NABA Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more sobriety tells his or her story. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on AABlueChipsSpeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too, I must have this thing. And Kelly S. is going to introduce our speaker tonight.
Thank you, Jackie. My name is Kelly, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, everybody. I have the honor to introduce Big John. I met him at the Terror Club, and he spent quite a bit of time with me after the meeting sharing his experience, strength, and hope. And he has a lot of time in this program, 49 years. Yes. I know y'all get as much as I did out of this tonight. John?
My name is John, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, John.
I didn't get this way from drinking, though. No, I have something that is called sarcoidosis. I've had it since 1955, so it's not contagious. It's hereditary. I don't know who in my family had it, because ain't nobody else never talked about it. But anyhow, I am an alcoholic, and tonight there ain't no question in my mind about that. I know that my life was unmanageable as a result of alcohol. Now, oftentimes you hear people use the word alcoholic and use it very loosely. Now, what happened to me and what I've heard since I've been here and the definition of alcohol, being an alcoholic, they say it's a physical allergy coupled with a mental obsession. That is the one that I take for me as far as what it means to be an alcoholic. Now, I don't believe I grew up as an alcoholic right off. But what I do know is this, is that whatever it takes to become an alcoholic, I was willing, I was able, and I tried to do and be anything or anybody except me. We were told that oftentimes, especially, you know, when we start to read in our books, in fact, in the 12 and 12, they mention the seven deadly sins. But the thing that I know that always rings a bell with me is that I was in a position growing up. Things weren't right at home. There were so many other things that was going on. My father drank. My uncle drank. You know, so alcoholism was on both sides of my family. I had my first drink at the age of 15. Which incidentally was a drunk. The last time I had a drink of alcohol at the age of 32 was a drunk. There was many, many drunks in between age 15 and 32. And like the book says, it always get progressively worse. It never got better. It always got progressively worse. And the point is that I had no idea what was happening. All I knew is that, you know, that I usually have a few drinks. I wake up feeling hungover or something like that. But, you know, whenever anybody would ever talk to me or mention my drinking, I'd always shy away from that individual because I didn't want to hear that. And what I found out later is that I didn't want to hear, because it was the truth, what they were telling me and saying about me. But I was of the opinion, in fact, I believe that the alcoholic, one who is like me, we're told in the book that alcoholism can be arrested, that it cannot be cured. I believe that, because what I know is this. Before coming to AA, I tried to quit on my own 3 different times with 6 months or more. But I could not. All I did was just stop, would just quit drinking. Because I was of the opinion at that time that I could take it or leave it. That I could take it or leave it. And that I could control it. Oh, I quit for 6 months, didn't I? I was dry for 6 months. So many times I hear one of our members mention that, something along that line. Being dry is just half the equation. The only way I can get sober is to practice these principles and these traditions to the best of my ability. It only comes with practicing. I can think it, I can act it, I can do all kinds of things. But all I am is just dry. Because during those three different times that I'm talking about, I was dry. I wasn't sober. I was dry. Physically absenting from alcohol, from taking it into my system. But I thought I had it going on. Needless to say, without help, it is too much for us. That's what it tells us. And it was too much for me. Because once I crossed that line into alcoholism, the party was over. But anyhow, by the time that I did reach AA, I was more than ready. Because I had tried to stop, I had tried to do this over a 10-year period. And I never was successful. And the point that I'm making is this. Had I been able to get me sober and get me straightened out, God knows I would have. At the time, I was on active duty with the Air Force. In fact, I spent 20 years with the Air Force. And that's what I was, that's one of the things that I always was doing, is was drinking that liquor. And I always felt like that if I was man enough to drink it, I'm man enough to hold it, I can control it. Over and over and over, I can control it. And I never did control it. But what I know is this. AA has a plan and has a plan for living wherein that the alcoholic can recover if he or she wants it bad enough. That's what Bill says. A couple of times in the book he mentioned this. Say, I needed and I wanted him and he came. Another time he talks about the same thing. And it was there. Let me back up a minute. When you hear me say something about God or about a religious, or not a religious entity, but a higher power, I'm talking about as it relates to me, not you. Get your own higher power. But what I'm saying is this. I never could do it until I got to AA. I never could stay sober. I never got sober until I got to AA. But I'm going to show you an example of what is proof to me. Before I came to AA, it was something like 20 years. Every time I got paid, every time I got a few dollars in my pocket, I got drunk. Now, naturally, I was still working and doing what the Air Force wanted me to do. But the point that I'm making is this. Is that when I was trying to quit drinking, or stop drinking, or take a rest from drinking, I never could. I was never successful. I did not realize any success until I got into AA. One day at a time, trying to do what the program suggested that I do. After about 3 months in AA, I realized that I hadn't wanted to drink. And that was the first time in over 20 years that I had not gone a payday and not wanted to drink. Because, like I said, I was in the Air Force. We were getting paid once a month at that time. This is back, you know, years ago, back in the 70s. But 60s and 70s, 50s, 60s and 70s. But the point that I'm making is this. Before AA and after AA, it speaks volumes to me. John, you must be doing something different if you're able to lose that obsession to drink. And that's what happened to me. We have three essentials in this program, according to our book. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. And if I'm willing and I want something bad enough, it will happen if I go to this power and ask for it. Now, what power is that? That's my power, what I call my higher power. And it has been able to keep me straight over so many things, so many times. Now, I drank because I was an alcoholic. I drank for all the same reasons that many of you drank. But the point is, I never was able to control it. Once I took the drink took me. And we hear that all the time. So first, the man takes the drink, then the drink takes the man. I can relate to that, and I can understand it, and I can draw on it. Because that happened to me every time I took a drink of liquor. Now, I didn't get drunk every time I had a drink. But the point is that I wanted to, and if conditions, circumstances would allow, I did get drunk. I would drink until I was drunk or until I passed out. And it was like that the whole time that I drank. But after I got to AA and started trying to do, and what they told me back then, said, John, everybody in AA has the right to be wrong. And we can disagree without being disagreeable. What is required is just do the best you can one day at a time. Son, you're not going to be perfect. That's what they was telling me back in 64. You're not going to be perfect. And you're not going to be able to do all the things that you think you want to do. But for our purpose here, get yourself a power. Flash, one of the guys who 12-stepped me, used to say all the time that, hey, say if you take God out of Alcoholics Anonymous, all you got left is a bunch of drunks. And when I say God, I'm talking about God as you understand it. Whatever you can and you cannot. But for me, I had to have something like that. Because I'd hate to think that I still call the shots. I had been such a failure before I ever got to AA. And I hate to believe today, I hate to think today, that I still call the shots and that I can get me sober and I can keep me sober. But that ain't what the book says. My sobriety is directly contingent upon my willingness to rightly relate myself to this power. It works, folks. It works just like it's printed. It works just like they say it does. And since I've been here, I've lost that obsession to drink. And somewhere between that time and this time, I lost the desire to drink. And I didn't do this on my own. Had I did it on my own, I never would have come to AA. And if had I been able to buy some, I'd have put it on my charge card at Sears. At Sears and Roebuck. That's what we used to call Sears back when most of y'all too young to remember something like that. But I would have. I'd have put it on time and I'd have paid for some of it. Because I did not want nobody interfering with my drinking. And, of course, I got married during the time while I was still practicing. And, of course, that came to an end to where my wife started complaining about me getting drunk and being drunk and not doing what I was supposed to do. But the point is this, is that no matter what was happening, alcohol had first dibs in my paycheck. I've seen the time that I would, you know, do crazy stuff, like try to gamble half drunk, lose all my money, and have to go borrow some money in order to take home money to sustain my family until the next pay period. Now, I'm not proud of anything like that. I'm not proud of my behavior. I'm very, just got so, once in a while I do something that I think it warrants me being satisfied or happy about. But what I wanted to say is this. Our illness, if you have the illness that I have, which is alcoholism, is of such a nature to where I can keep it arrested, but I cannot cure it, and I cannot be perfect, and I'm not going to be perfect. But I can make progress in doing the things that I've been doing one day at a time, and that is practicing. Oh, I've ran across guys that had photographic memories that could remember the big book. In fact, could remember the big book or whatever, the 12 and 12, or any other literature, magazine or whatever. Page, page, number, paragraph, the whole nine yards. And one such guy I ran across was, I met him on an island out in the Pacific. His name was Gene. When I drew that assignment to the Pacific, to Johnston Island, that's where it was, I was there. When I drew that assignment, I had been in AA 1 year, one day at a time. I just celebrated my first birthday. And I'm off to the races going to Johnston Island. I did everything I was supposed to do. Make inquiries from General Service or any place else, wherever, to see if there was any other alcoholics out there or if they had an active AA activity going on out there. When I got out there, when I got to Honolulu, I found out that there was one guy out there who was in AA. His name was Gene, as I said a minute ago. After I got there, I made contact with him, and Gene and I used to have regularly scheduled AA meetings on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights in my shop. Gene was the number two man on the island, which meant that he was in high cotton, making a very good living, as well as he was knowledgeable. And he was one of those guys that I just mentioned a few minutes ago, one of those photographic memories who could remember all kind of stuff. And he and I used to study on days when we meet up there. But we would have a meeting Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights. About 2 months after I was there, Gene was reassigned to Saigon. We was getting ready to kick off Vietnam, really, that's what. But they transferred him to Saigon. So for the next 10 months that I was on the island, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'd go back to my shop, put a fresh pot of coffee on, put the literature out, and I would sit there and wait. Now, during the same time, we were advertising with the Chaplain's newsletter. If you have a drinking problem, call this number. We never had any takers, except one guy came by there, and he was leaving the next day. One guy came by. But I'm saying this for a purpose. When I was talking about practicing, that's what I've learned since I've been in AA. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'd always go back and set up for the meeting. Then nobody came. I would sit there at least for an hour or hour and a half, and I would study by myself. Now, I like to say it like this. Well, how did you do that? How did you do that? I didn't do it by myself, man. Remember that power I was talking about a while ago? It was the power, my big book, my 12 and 12, and me. And when I would leave there, just like before Gene left, when I would leave my shop to go back to my billets, I felt the same way that I used to feel when I was attending a meeting this size. I felt relief, and I felt like I had been somewhere in the presence of that power. Now, that's the way I was feeling. Now, during that time, during the time that I was out there, during that period out there, well, how do you do it by yourself? I didn't do it by myself. The power. Remember, Bill was talking about the power. Three or four different places. Say, if we want him bad enough, he'll come. That's in the book, it says that. So what I'm saying is this. I believe, and my experience dictates, that this program works just like it's written. But it's up to me to be willing to do whatever it is that needs to be done. And I like to share that part of my story, because it isn't don't drink and go to meetings. Only half of what I need to be doing. Practice. 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 If I practice the concepts, which is 12 and 12, and the 12 steps, 12 traditions, I'm going to go to meetings anyway. Because that's part of the recovery. But my emphasis is going to be on waking up one day in the morning, waking up in the mornings, trying to relate myself to this power, and also when I get ready to go to bed at night, trying to relate myself to this power. Now, this guy used to say all the time, "See, I wish that I wanted to quit drinking." And so that's the way I was when I first came to AA. I wished that I wanted to want, before I came to AA, I wished that I wanted to want to quit drinking. But I didn't. I always thought that I could handle it. I could. But the point is this. If I'm willing to go to this power, you know that picture that shows around on most of our AA walls that shows Bill W. and Dr. Bob 12-stepping Bill D., alcoholic number 3 in the book. There's a picture that's on a lot of your walls that depicts that. And what it says, that one of the questions, they're asking him different questions. They are 12-stepping the man. And the questions that they was asking him are the same questions that you or anybody else should ask any newcomer. And one of those questions was, do you believe in a power greater than yourself? And of course, Bill D. told him, yes, I do. And the next question, real quick, would you be willing to go to this power and ask for some help? He said he would. And apparently he did so, because he died sober. He never had another drink, according to the records. But the whole point that I'm making is this. It is up to me to recognize that I don't have the power. Not even sober, man. And I'm not going to be cured by tomorrow. And I'm not going to be cured by next week. The most I can hope for is to keep my alcoholism arrested, one day at a time. And I do that first by not taking a drink, but I also do it by relying on this power greater than myself. And I say that because this is where it has, this is where it is and has been with me ever since I've been in AA. Doing what was suggested, or attempting to do what is suggested. You know, when we read how it works, there's a line that talks about no one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We're not saints. We are willing to grow along spiritual lines. And so it is up to me to follow the directions. And if I don't know how to follow the directions, or if I've got something that I know is beating me down, and I can't turn it loose, I go to this power and ask this power to help me to want to give it up. He all them wants. Not that I've given it up. Help me to want to give it up. Because I ain't ready. I'm not wanting to give it up. But if I'm vigilant in my request, I will be able to give it up. And I will be able to do what the program suggested I do. I know that this is probably an odd thing to do. Is to say that, hey, how come I can't do it by myself? Well, John, had you been able to do it by yourself, you wouldn't have come to AA. How come I can't run my own life now that I'm sober? No, John. You ain't ready to run your own life, son. You're gonna need the help of that power, no matter what. Now there's that chapter to the agnostic. It is there for a reason. And it ain't just there for me. It's there for all those to read and take heed to it. Because no matter what, there's going to always be something flawed in me, in my character. I've been here close to 50 years now. And what I know is this. I did not get me sober. I do not keep me sober. My sobriety is directly contingent upon my willingness to want to rightly relate myself to this power. And again, I'll go back to what Flash used to say. If you take the power out of this room, and all you got is a bunch of drunks, and we don't do well on our own, not even together, a bunch of us. So, anyhow, I'm glad to be here and glad y'all are here. When I was in Bermuda, I ran into a guy who used to be a hangman for the Queen of England. And he had retired to Bermuda and whatnot. His name was Ginger. And Ginger used to say when he was closing a talk, if you're looking for sobriety, may it please your God you find it. And if you have sobriety, may it please your God you keep it. Because believe me, folks, it is much easier to stay sober than it is to get sober. And thank you all, and God bless you.
Thank you, John. That was really awesome. We happen to have a few extra minutes. Some of you guys might have questions.
Yes, sir.
John, thank you so much.
Could you speak to us a little bit about how you were introduced to and how you took the action to get the
process? Yes. Actually, I had when I came into AA, I had two guys that 12-stepped me. At the time, I was stationed at MacDill Air Force, not MacDill, but in Tampa, Florida. And these guys spent about 2 hours at my house. I lived in base quarters. And they had these cards, and they used to talk. And there was a lot of times when, over the years, that I remember what they would say. And that, John, you got to try it. If you want it to work for you, you got to be willing to try it. That's why I always go back to any new person and suggest that they do those three essentials: willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. Become willing. And that's where that power comes in. The power will help me to become willing if I avail myself of it. The same as it did for Bill, man. And there's two or three places in the book where he says that when he was ready, it came. So he needed and wanted God, and he came. Another time, I don't know if he said God, if the word God was in there, but it meant that his higher power is what he was after. And there's several other places where he acknowledged that there's a power greater than himself. My thinking is this: if it's good enough for the founder, it ought to be good enough for me if I want to follow that way of life. But I can't do it on my own. I got to have help. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
I'm Gary. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Gary.
When I started sobriety day, I came hoping that I didn't learn when you came to Atlanta.
71. 71.
Okay, so 71. Now, that meant probably that you had some interactions with John Clemens.
He was my sponsor.
I'm wondering, with regard to John, John Clemens, did he ever rewrite you any of the obstacles that he might have faced by being an early African American in Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yes, he did. In fact, I was a year, I celebrated my first birthday in AA before I saw my first black person in AA. Hey, man, that's a drowning man, woman, child, anybody else does not give a darn who throws them a life raft. So don't let that ever block you. Don't ever let that deter you from doing what you know you're supposed to do. Because in the book, there's a line in the book that said, I'm supposed to be a good Samaritan every day. Not just one day, every day. And that's the way it's worded. Sure is. And I did encounter some things. But what happened, when I first came in, Ralph and Flash guided me out through Tampa to the different meetings. At that same time, I know you all have heard of Clarence Snyder. I knew Clarence real well. He used to live in down in the Tampa, St. Pete area. Okay. I used to run into him all the time. And he was an encourager also. But there were a lot of other people that I ran into that all they wanted to do was stay sober themselves and carry the message. And that's where it is. And that's where it's been with me since I've been in AA, man. And it works. It works.
One may ask one other thing. Did John have anything to do with naming? There's a name in our meeting schedule. The John F. Big Book study, obviously named after him. Did he have anything to do with that?
No.
Was that named after him posthumously? In other words, that meeting was originated after he died?
No. The meeting started before he died, but we just at that time it was just called the 12-step study meeting. And after he died, and we was trying to pay homage to him in such a way of trying to remember him, because he had contributed so much to our sobriety. And so that's how I got that name. Now, there's one other person, too. You remember Maggie? Maggie H? Okay. John was Maggie's sponsor. He was also my sponsor. So Maggie and I was real, very good friends. I mean, you know, close friends. And we even have a meeting today. The meeting itself lasts 1.5 hours. It was set up like that. One of the best things that ever happened to AA in Atlanta. We used to have a meeting at John F.'s house in his basement every Sunday night. And all the old timers, I remember Ruth. He used to be there almost every night. And then Maggie would come. She'd bring her entourage. A bunch of people following her around. But anyhow, I learned more about AA during that period of time than at any other time other than me studying by myself.
Thank you, John. If you have any other questions, see John after the meeting closes. I'll turn it back over to Jackie.
John, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. That was a real treat. Thank you so much.
If the river keep rising, water gonna overflow. If that river keep rising, flood water gonna overflow. Just like that old river, baby, it's my time to go. Oh,